Chapter 8. Rouge. What was the head librarian going to do with a dungeon? Rouge could guess. It probably involved something with books and tests of knowledge, but seriously. What kind of monsters would he summon to help him with that? Really mean librarians who cut off your head for making noise? Literal bookworms the size of a house? Wouldn't it be better to give the dungeon seed to Sumi, or, if it had to be someone in their group, even Kor? A goat dungeon would be hilarious, and Kor would totally enjoy kicking people's butts on a regular basis. Possibly, literally. Sighing, she cast a glance at her sister, who was pale and shaking. Those debuffs were harsh, and Rouge had no doubt that Doombloom kept her pain feedback set to normal. In an effort to further encourage realism, Vo put minor debuffs on adults who lowered their pain input, and gave boosts to people who left it at normal. Which still wasn't normal because she'd heard a broken bone just felt like a sprain, but still. Minors, of course, were set to minimum by default, and didn't get boons or debuffs. There was even a hell mode which was supposed to be exactly like reality, but people who tried it said the name was no joke, and Doom was too smart to make things harder on herself, even if the perks were supposedly pretty awesome. Nonetheless, for someone who was usually one of the strongest, smartest, most agile people around to suddenly have all her abilities nerfed and her stats severely diminished, with no regen at that, life had to suck right now. Rouge looked back at the head librarian. So, what else do we need to do? I mean, shouldn't the dungeon have gone poof? She flicked her fingers dramatically outward, when you touched that rock? Or when Sarave touched it? I mean, you're both definitely sapient. The head librarian still looked a little shaken, and he actually hesitated before answering. I assumed the seed would still be in the heart. It only works when the two are together. Like, he paused pondering, planting the seed in fertile earth. It cannot sprout while it simply rests in your palm. A hint of a smile crossed his lips, and he glanced at Aspen. Well, most people's palms. It is a seed, after all, in more than metaphor. Who knows what a druid could do with it? Aspen shook his head firmly. Even if I was inclined to find out, I have no mana left to make any such attempt. Now, old friend, what happens next? Face relaxing into something akin to his usual look of general bemusement at the antics of the world around him, the head librarian held the pretty blue-black stone out in front of him. The heart is only the heart by virtue of the presence of the seed, he said cryptically. Therefore, the heart is where the seed is, though the heart and seed are separate. A shimmering pedestal appeared in the air below his hand, at just the right height for him to set the rock he held into a shallow cupola that looked like it was carved from a nest of snakes. Turning his wrist, the head librarian carefully placed the seed into the heart, and the world dropped into darkness. Rouge blinked her eyes, then rubbed the heels of her hands against them. The total blackness only lasted 5 seconds or so, but it was long enough to make her wonder if the game had somehow crashed. Other than the fact that she was blind, however, everything seemed all right, so she suppressed the panic rising in her throat and waited. 5 seconds was a really long time. When the world flashed back into existence, even the soft sunlight filtering through the branches of the tree beside her was enough to make her eyes burn. More blinking cured that, and when she could finally make out details, she saw that Doom, Silas, Aspen, Kor, William, and Sarave were standing beside her, right next to the tree. The three glyphs were staring at them, mouths slightly agape, looking rather more fish-like than usual. Doombloom set a hand on Rouge's shoulder, muttered, "Follow and obey," and then the light in her blue eyes went out. Rouge was suddenly the proud owner of a shiny new zombie, and she wasn't quite sure what to do about it. The follow and obey command was only for dire circumstances or someone you completely trusted. It meant that the person you selected basically got programming access to your zombie and could make it do anything or go anywhere. She supposed that this situation actually fell into both categories, but still, it was a big deal. It was kind of like her sister had just handed over the code to a Ferrari and told her to have fun. Aspen, who was standing near enough to see what had just happened, nodded in satisfaction, though she knew he had no real idea of what Doom's words meant. Good, we made it in time. Rouge drew in a deep breath, then coughed, nearly choking on the rich, sweet perfume of the tree. She looked up into the branches, which were heavy with fruits of all sizes and shapes. Flowers mingled with the ripe fruits, their pale violet to indigo ombre contrasting beautifully with the vibrant green leaves. She looked over at Aspen. Wait, have you eaten one of these yet? What happened? Can I try one? May I? Aspen corrected absently, then ignored her as she stuck her tongue out at him. I did. He held up his hand, revealing an absolutely gorgeous tattoo completely wrapping his hand from fingertips to wrist. It was silver and green and blue, and glowed slightly even in the hazy sunlight. Somehow, all the disparate pieces now worked together to create one harmonious whole, and Rouge was absolutely burning with jealousy. Once this happened, I decided against allowing anyone else to try it just yet. If everyone has similar results when they eat the fruit, it could be problematic. I thought it might be best to wait until we can have the fruit properly analyzed before continuing. Rouge didn't hesitate. Leaping for the tree, she scrambled up the smooth white bark like a squirrel returning to its nest. Ignoring Aspen's calls for her to come back down, she only paused for a moment when she saw the curled carapace of a large spider resting in the crook of a branch, and then she scurried on. When she reached the highest branch that would bear her weight, she stopped and plopped down on the branch, swinging her legs merrily as she reached over and plucked something that looked like a banana-shaped strawberry from nearby. Without hesitation, she bit down. It was amazing. Juice ran down her chin as she devoured the thing in four bites, unable to properly savor the sweet flavor and crisp texture, even though she knew she should. After all, there was a whole tree of fruit, and she couldn't wait to try every last one of them. You have eaten a fruit of the Meta tree. You gain one random skill. You have learned a new skill. Skywriting is added to your skill list. You may control the shape, color, and movement of one naturally occurring cloud between 100 to 20,000 feet above the Earth, for up to 5 minutes. The size and quantity of clouds you may control will increase as you level this skill. Holy cow, Aspen, she shouted down. I got a new skill. I mean, it's pretty much completely and totally useless, but it's still awesome. Silas' voice somehow sounded like she was talking with her mouth full. I got one too. I think it means I can change the color of beetle shells. I never really liked beetles because they're too crunchy, but at least now I can make them pretty. Cor too sounded slightly muffled. I can play some stupid musical instrument now. What in the name of a tie's undies am I supposed to do with a set of pipes? Rouge was already moving on to her second fruit, though her giggles were threatening to make her unable to eat. As she lifted the glistening yellow and blue swirled melon to her lips, she caught a whiff of a truly disgusting stench. It was something along the lines of Jace's gym socks that time he decided to give up bathing for a month, and it almost made her hesitate before taking a bite. This time, the juice that welled up around her teeth was viscous and sticky, and not in a good way. The taste of vomit and rotten eggs filled her mouth, and she gagged, spitting out the extremely offensive bite. You have attempted to eat a second fruit of the Meta tree. You gain one random debuff. You are now wimpy. Any damage you take for the next 5 hours will be tripled. Warning: ingesting more of the fruit of the Meta tree will result in additional debuffs, which will stack. She couldn't speak through her mouth, since she was currently scrubbing her tongue with her shirt, but she thought as loudly as she could. Don't eat anymore. You'll get a debuff, and it tastes so nasty. Unfortunately, she was too late for Cor at least, if the sounds coming from below were anything to go by. The poor goat sounded like he was trying to hack up everything he'd ever eaten, and she vaguely wondered if he would lose his new skill when he threw up the fruit he'd just ingested. Silas, however, only sounded a bit forlorn when she replied. Are you sure? This one looks really, really tasty. Maybe you just got a bad one? Cor sounded miserable. No. She didn't. Don't. Eat. He trailed off, and Rouge winced at the continuing sounds of misery echoing up from the ground. The taste in her own mouth was now reminiscent of sour milk and raw onions, but it was bearable, and she leaned her head back, staring up at the small puffy cloud hanging in the blue sky directly above her. A moment later it turned deep black and white and took on the shape of a particularly handsome ostrich, and she giggled, then gagged again. Zoe sat up in her pod, pushing the hatch above her open, while pulling her mask and visor off her face with her other hand. She took a deep breath of air that didn't make her want to vomit. Even though it smelled a little like wet dog and pizza, it was still a bouquet of roses compared to the nauseating aroma of the tree once she made the mistake of biting into that second fruit. Poor Cor, who had apparently eaten the whole fruit at once, was still suffering from a baldness debuff that would not quit, and no matter how hard Zoe tried, she just could not look at the naked goat without breaking into hysterical laughter. Uncontrollably laughing at a greater goat while she was suffering from the wimpy debuff wasn't a particularly good idea. So she had pretty much run back to Aspen's old house with Doombloom's zombie and logged off immediately. Things on the farm would be interesting for a while, between everyone setting up the new town and whatever the head librarian was doing with the Prota dungeon. Plus, she wondered if Cor would manage to convince Sarave to knit him a sweater out of the fur that had sloughed from his body like he'd been hot waxed by a god hand. Still giggling, she climbed from her pod, then shucked her bodysuit and placed it into the little cleaning drawer built into the rig. Since the bodysuit was full of delicate circuitry, it required special washing, so Veritas Corp had built the snazzy cleaning device into the pod itself. The fluid that it used was the only thing that required replacing on a consistent basis, which meant that once you invested a lot into the machine itself, your costs were pretty much the same as those of a headset and gloves user. Max thumped his tail on the ground as he saw her emerge from her room, now wearing a pullover dress for decency's sake. Her dad wasn't due home from work for a few hours, but she still felt weird wandering buck naked around the house. Zoe patted the dog on the head, then went straight to the bathroom. While she was sitting down, she took out her screen, thumbing through the notifications that had come in while she was online. HMPH, a few notices about coupons from her food delivery apps, a sale on a pair of shoes she'd had her eye on for a while. She was about to follow that link when her screen buzzed slightly in her hand. A picture of an egg took over her screen, jumping and shuddering as cracks formed all over its surface. Her first thought was that she'd been hacked or picked up a virus somehow, and her heart was dropping when she realized that the eggshell had a faint overlay of the V in an O Veritas Online logo. Instantly, she felt her spirits rise again, and she glanced at the time. 4:30 on the dot. It was time for the results of the lottery Bridget had entered her into at lunch on Friday. According to a private message from Nina, there had been a lot of excitement when people checked their messages this morning and found their own entries waiting for them. Apparently, you had to be logged onto the VO system to get your egg, so even though the message had gone out late Friday, only a few dedicated worker bees had gotten theirs early. Nina hadn't heard of anyone else getting a tap as early as Zoe, and Nina knew everything, so Zoe was pretty sure Bridget had fudged something somewhere to give Zoe an entry. In any case, she was about to find out what she'd won, and since the minimum prize was a free month of Veritas Online, she'd honestly be happy to just get that. She carefully set her screen on the little shelf across from the toilet and finished up her business as the egg continued its little hatching dance. She turned away to wash her hands and then turned back and picked the screen up to read the message glittering there in big golden letters. She dropped the screen, and it bounced once on the rug before rolling to a stop on the cold ceramic tiles. Grand. Prize. Oh yeah. She danced around the bathroom, whooping at the top of her lungs, grinning like a loon. Today was definitely her lucky day.